Hey, good morning and good Erev Shabbos, everyone. It is day 16, entitled This Chapter, Holy Grapes. After a little story that I shared in the beginning of the chapter, I was visiting my friend Ari Solomon, who used to live in Chashmonaim. It's a very sweet little community outside of Jerusalem, and we were sitting in his backyard. My kids were playing on the swings, and he had the most exquisite plants and trees in this little vineyard with these luscious grapes, and I took a grape. I was about to pop it into my mouth, and he grabbed my hand. He's like, Mark, wait. You know about the laws of Truma and Maser? And I was like, yeah, I totally just blanked on that. And it's all of these little details in the land of Israel that we're not supposed to just take fruit from the land of Israel. It has to be tithed. Some of it goes to the Kohen, some goes to the Levi, some goes to the poor. We have other mitzvot like Orla that you're not supposed to enjoy the fruit during its first 3 years. And I'm sharing this because in this week's Parsha, we have the mitzvah of Bikurim, where the Jewish farmer in Israel, before he's able to partake of his fruit, has to go to Jerusalem and make this whole declaration of gratitude. And the rabbis ask, what's all this pomp and circumstance over a little piece of fruit? And I quoted Rabbi Shalom Rosner, who said that the Bikurim ceremony impresses upon us the vital Jewish teaching that everything that happens to us in this life, even a little fruit growing on a tree, is worthy of celebration and deserves some kind of thanksgiving to Hashem. Bikurim, which means the first fruits in this parsha, teaches us that the little things in life matter. And I was wondering, what do we have in the diaspora? Okay, so those little things, you walking in Israel, and we just brought our whole group to Israel. I just got a picture of a couple of my students from MJE who are studying in Israel now. And it's special because the little things there kind of trigger off beautiful spiritual ideas, Truma, Maser, Orla, some of these mitzvot hatzluyot ba'aretz that are connected to the land. But in the diaspora or wherever we may live, what little things can we use during this 40-day challenge leading up to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to be more connected spiritually? And the simple answer, and I mentioned this at the end of the chapter, is brachot, blessings, because Judaism has a very intricate and detailed system of reciting blessings before and after we eat. And I focused on the brachot rishonot, the early blessings, the blessings we say before we partake of food. Like for bread, we say hamotzi lechem min haaretz. People are very familiar with that because of the Shabbat table. But if we were to eat any bread during the week, and perhaps, you know, we're not accustomed to doing that during the week, to recite this blessing, God who brings forth bread from the ground. Okay, borei minei mezonot, if you're having a pastry or anything made from wheat, we say God who creates the various forms of sustenance, borei minei mezonot. Even for a single grape or other fruit, we say borei pri ha'etz, God who creates the fruit of the tree. Vegetables, borei pri hadama, God who creates the fruit of the ground. And for everything else, we've got the catch-all blessing, shehakol nihiyeh bidvaro, God who creates everything according to his word. And these blessings, if you need the whole text, can be found in any Jewish prayer book, but they are simple yet meaningful ways of bringing Hashem and holiness into our everyday. And that's what Judaism is really about. It's about living a observant and mindful kind of life, not just on the high holidays as we're preparing for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but every moment. And the moments where we enjoy physical things in this world are also tremendous opportunities. In fact, the Kabbalists teach, Bala Tanya is very big on this, that when we're partaking of something physical in the world, that's our opportunity to introduce spirituality. Because think about it for a minute. Why did God create us in such a way that we need food in the first place? He could have created us, all of us, self-sustaining. So it begs the question, why do we need food at all? So one of the reasons that the Kabbalists teach is because it's an opportunity, as we're partaking of something physical in our finite, concrete world, to express spirituality. The whole physicality that we have is not just there haphazardly or in some sort of random way. It's there to give us an opportunity to introduce spirituality. And how do we do that? By acknowledging the source of the physical blessing we're about to enjoy. And that's all a bracha is. It's not blessing God. You know, no offense, Hashem doesn't need your blessing or mine. It's acknowledging God's the source of this bracha. And what you're doing is then, before you're popping that grape into your mouth or just having a cup of coffee, whatever it is, you're saying this comes from Hashem. And in doing so, we are really actualizing and realizing and fulfilling our very purpose to existence, which is to declare Hashem in a physical world, shehakol niyeh bedvaro, that everything happens according to his word. So even though it's just mumbling and uttering a couple of words, it's fulfilling the very purpose and basis of our existence. And it's a great thing to hone in on as we now prepare for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, to take these blessings and to say for the next couple of weeks, to try to be a little more careful before eating anything, to say, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you God, Elokeinu Melech Olam, King of the world, Borei Minei Mezonot, who has created all forms of sustenance, Shehakol Nieh B'dvaro, for everything else. We say that for God who creates everything according to his word. It's a great opportunity. We can do this anywhere we are. Have a holy and beautiful Shabbos, my friends.